Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on personal finance. Save 10% of what you make. Here we go. So, Wendy, this is going to be one of my all-time favorite casts, whether anybody else likes it or not, because I have to tell you, Mr. Micawber's Recipe for Happiness from David Copperfield is one of my all-time favorite quotes, because I tell audiences sometimes, I've been rich and I've been poor and happy is better. And I've learned that happiness is not money, but it can help to be secure financially.
Yeah.
And Mr. Micawber's famous quote from David Copperfield is annual income, 20 pounds, annual expenditure, 19 pounds, 19 shillings and 6 pence, result happiness. Annual income, 20 pounds, annual expenditure, 20 pounds, ought and six, result misery.
Exactly. That sixpence I ever make all the difference.
Yes, exactly. And there are people who spend every dime they have and then go into debt. And there are people who save first. And Dickens actually said more than that. And he actually, in Great Expectations, said, so now, as an infallible way of making little E's great E's, I began to contract a quantity of debt.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like, that has, I it's in old language, but I can just imagine going into Walmart and buying an 80-inch TV that I don't need to make my life easier or more pleasurable. And it's funny. It's a lovely, lovely sentence.
Yeah. The reason we're doing this cast, and we don't mean to pry into people's personal lives, is we have seen too many cases of people managing their personal finances so poorly that they had to make bad career decisions based on them. And we have discovered that far too many people don't understand that if you start your career early, let's say you start when you're 21, you graduate from college, you graduate from university, you start a job, maybe it's not the best job in the world, but you decide to start really investing in your own future and you live small and you don't have a nice car and you don't have a nice flat and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe even after college, you live on ramen noodles, the old college. If you don't know that, that's a classic American college joke that some kid would live on ramen noodles because they're so cheap.
And in the UK, it's beans on toast.
Oh, beans on toast, good. And the idea is, if you do that, by the time you're 35 or 40, guys, and you live within your means and save, you will have enough money set aside. You won't have to worry anymore. And if you invest as well, you'll take care of yourself. By the time you're 50, your retirement can be taken care of. Not in terms of you'll have all the money you need to retire, but that assuming that your growth rate continues, your investments continue to appreciate at 3 or 4 or 5% per year, you will still be able to take risks and be at peace regarding your financial future. And that helps you make better career decisions. Perhaps you would make a decision, take a decision with some risk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to a startup or go somewhere for a lower salary or move somewhere that's more expensive or take a training course, you know, take some time off and take an MBA or do a PhD just because you want to. And if you have money saved, you have those choices.
Yeah, a debt-free life with the savings, and we have a cast about that where we talk about having 6 months savings set up to handle short-term exigencies. It allows you to take those opportunities that come your way. The dream job with a lower salary, or maybe, like you said, a sabbatical or something else, because you can. And folks, what we know is the choices you make early, the difference between sixpence under and sixpence over, to quote Mr. Micawber loosely, you won't recognize that latte you have at Starbucks. Nothing at Starbucks. We love Starbucks, guys. They made road travel coffee, airport coffee, hotel coffee that much better than styrofoam cups or polystyrene cups 20 years ago. But that said, you won't remember those things. Those are passing things. But making small choices to live within your means, to only live on 90% of your take-home pay, and at some points, 80%. If you could live on 100% of it, you could probably live on 80% of it. And now you can save 10% and you can invest 10%. So in this cast, we're going to talk about some simple first steps. There's lots of hardcore savings advice on the internet. We're not arguing with Dave Ramsey and all those guys. We love people being frugal and living debt-free. We just want to give you a few steps to take you in the right direction, and to tell you we're doing this to help your career. Folks, we cannot tell you how many people have told us I had to get a job because I had no savings and I was laid off and I was certain I never would be, but I didn't have any savings. And the people who learn this lesson always learn it after the fact.
Yeah. Well, the people that say they really want to come to one of our training days and they say, but I would have to pay for it myself and I can't afford it. Now, I mean, $1,000 or just over is a big chunk of money. I'm not saying it's a small amount of money, but on the other hand.
But if you have six months saved up, then it's nothing.
Exactly.
You write the check for $1,000 and then you just over the next year, it's like you're on, you've loaned yourself $1,000 at 0% interest and then you
exactly.
pay yourself back.
Exactly, it's $50
a month. Yeah. Well, $50 a month only gets you, that means it takes 2 years. So it's probably $100 a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Folks, if you don't know this, Wendy is famous for not being good at what the British call maths, just so you know. So, okay, what's our outline? What's our guidance today?
So our outline is create a budget, reduce easy expenses, and monitor ongoing expenses. And this cast is for you if you're not in an emergency. This is about writing the ship you're in, just, you know, slowly getting into a better direction.
And the reason you say that is because we've already done a cast on how to cut things if you are in a pinch.
Yeah. So if you're in an emergency, you need the one that's called Career Failures Disaster Planning, just so that people are listening to the right one.
So good. So let's talk about creating a budget.
Yeah. Creating a budget sounds really hard. There's numbers involved and like adding up, which I've just proved I'm not good at, and spreadsheets. But it doesn't have to be really hard. It can be simple. If you've never done it before, then do something easy that's like 20 numbers written down on a piece of paper. I love Mint. There's a website called Mint, and it
right.
takes all your financial information from different banks, and it puts everything in together, and then it says, you spent $17,000 in Starbucks last year. And there's some people that don't like sharing their bank details with other companies, so I can understand that. But if you want the really simple version, use Mint. But the first thing you really need to do is find all of the accounts and cards and store cards and credit cards and savings accounts and that account that your mother put or your grandmother put like $10 in a month when it was your birthday. All of those things and kind of gather all that information up, because a lot of us who aren't terribly organized about financial things sort of have pieces of paper all over the place or ignore the statements when they come. Not that I've ever done that. If you want to start to get control of your finances, less accounts is better, because the fewer accounts you have, the easier it is to control, right? One checking account is easier than three, especially if you have a checkbook for each one and you write a check on the wrong one, or you have a debit card for each one and you use the wrong debit card and then you're charged for overdraft fees. So you want to get all the information together and then think about where you can consolidate them.
Okay, cool.
And then most of the banks now will let you download all of your transactions. So you can go to the bank website, you fill in your details, and it's all super secure, and you can download all of the transactions for the last, you usually can do like a year, but just do the last 3 months, and it will go into a spreadsheet automatically, and then usually the ones I've had have been fairly easy to understand.
Right. Okay, good.
So then you'll have the balance, you'll have all your transactions, and then you can look, while you're there, look for the interest rate that's on that account, because when you start consolidating, you want the best interest rate out of the however many you've got.
Right, okay.
And then the next thing you want to do is start looking at the categories of your spending and adding it up. And it doesn't matter, I've done this with a printed out spreadsheet and highlighter pens, because I like to do it in the nursery way. You can do it in a spreadsheet, and obviously the spreadsheet will add it up for you, so that makes it easier, but it doesn't really matter how you do it. And you don't need to be really precise either. So choose.
There are
some
people who just had a heart attack, right?
Yeah,
budgets
exactly.
and numbers, and you don't need to be precise. Well, give me an example. What you mean by precise is you don't have to figure out whether it's $77 a month or $78.05 a month, you can simply say, okay, it's 78 or it's 77 is what you're saying.
Exactly. And when you're sorting out the categories, you don't have to have healthcare dental, healthcare doctor, healthcare internist. You know, you don't need the, a health all in one chunk is fine for now.
Okay, for now.
Yeah. So you want to choose five or six big buckets. So like food, entertainment, stuff for the kids, travel, including your cars and the car insurance, stuff like that, health, utilities. You know, that's like five big buckets. And if they don't make sense to you and your family or your situation, then choose some different ones. It doesn't, right now, it's just a question of having something if you've got nothing. It's not, we're not about perfecting a system you've already got.
Okay.
And then the reason you download 3 months worth of the transactions is there's a lot of things that come on odd months. So you might not pay your gas bill every month. You might pay it once a quarter. And so if you don't download 3 months, you might miss that. So that's why we do more than a month.
Okay.
And then you could just add up the total in each of the buckets, in the, each of your big chunks, and divide by three. And that's, now you know how much you spend on average in each category. And again, it does, it can be rounded up, like $500 or $550 is probably sufficient for you to start working with. You don't need cents for now, unless you want to, in which case, go for it.
Okay.
And then the last thing you want to do with regard to all these numbers is work out what 10% of your income is, because that's your savings goal. So you need to know what that number is.
Got it. Okay, we've got our expenses, we've got our savings goal, and now you're suggesting we should reduce expenses.
Now we're going to reduce the easy ones, yeah. So there's probably, I know when I did this or I have done this, there's one category and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent $17,000 in Starbucks. There's usually one category that you find absolutely shocking. And if there isn't, pick the biggest one. It doesn't really matter which one you pick. And think about it and think, okay, what can I do that won't hurt that will reduce some of those expenses? So let's say it's food. And your family, you always order pizza on a Friday night. It's like your way of kicking back and like the week's done, the kids have done school, you've done work and it's pizza night. But you don't have to order it. You could pick one up in a store. You could cook one. You could make one of your own. They're all ways of reducing the cost because right, having one delivered is always the most expensive. But you still get to keep the ritual and you probably save a couple of dollars.
Yep.
One of the things people do is go to the store and I'm just going in for milk, and you come out with like $50 worth of stuff you never planned. But when you got in there, you were like, oh, I need this and I need this and I need this. And so if you go in less often, you spend less.
Right.
And that's not too bad. If you find yourself going to the supermarket every day for something, then try and make it every other day. And I can guarantee you, your expenses will go down. It's
one
like
of,
magic.
One of my experiences when I was grocery shopping, and I did it for years, was if it's not on the list, don't get it, which I discovered later was mm-hmm. really smart. I didn't know it was really smart. I didn't actually think that way. What I was thinking was I only have to get what was on the list. And I would walk by stuff that I thought I might want, but I said, oh, it's not on the list, not realizing that the definition of need, when people say, oh, I need this, is actually, no, it's really not. If you didn't put it on the list, you can probably get by without it. And in fact, one of the things about simple living or debt-free living or easier living is the issue of your definition of what you think you need.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you don't get it and then you don't miss it. There's all kinds of things we take for granted. And another example is, I think you're going to talk about it, is your phone bill or your internet bill or your cable bill. Cable bill, nowadays, we're recording this in 2015, there's a way for everyone to cut their entertainment bill. And folks, you could just cut your cable bill right now. I mean, in the States, I can't imagine for most people, it's much less than $75 and it may be $150 a month. And you can cut that to zero almost and get it some of the stuff for free. And now, look, there are people who would say, well, my kids watch these two or three channels. Well, okay, maybe so. And your kids can probably amuse themselves elsewhere in other ways, because if nothing else, kids did before TV. I remember when I was a parent and our kids were young, they played with Tupperware. because that's what we could afford. We didn't buy them toys. They didn't have a jungle gym in the back. They didn't have an iPad. Your kids don't need an iPad. Your kids don't need a phone if they're 8. Or if they do, they don't need an iPhone. So, good. Okay. Sorry, I went on a rant there for a minute.
No, that's okay. So we were talking about looking for the easy expenses in one chunk. And it doesn't matter if you concentrate on one area for 3 months or try one thing in each area and then go to a second, or try one thing in food and one thing in travel. Treat it as a game and it will be much more fun. And right now you're going from nothing to improving yourself. You don't go from being someone who doesn't control their finances to a super saver in an instant. You just don't. It's like going from being a couch potato to a marathon runner. Like, you'd never expect to do that overnight. So don't expect that you're going to suddenly save huge amounts of money. Just like the first month, make it like, can I save $50 or $100? It doesn't have to be much, but it's just about getting in the habit and finding the game in trying to save some.
And if you're listening right now, folks, and you're hearing all this talk about budget, and maybe your spouse handles the budget, or you're not a budget person, and you're not excited, remember, this is not really a cast about budget. It is about being ready for professional uncertainty. This is a cast about making you a professional by reducing the risk associated with an inadvertent or an advertent, or if you will, an avoidable mistake that puts you and your family at risk and causes you to make bad decisions. It's a bit like telling your boss, I double checked on that FedEx going out and you didn't, and it didn't go out. Well, okay, maybe rather than saying you double checked, you ought to actually double check. And in this case, maybe you ought to be looking at this stuff again and say, there's probably something I can do to cut some costs, and that can go to my 10% number. And remember what Peter Drucker says, you cannot control costs. All you do is cut them. I'll never forget that. When I read that, I'm like, this is genius. We tell people we're controlling costs, and really what you do to lower them is you cut them. So now's the time to cut your costs. And for the most part, other than staples of food, there's almost nothing that can't be cut that you won't find an alternative to. Heck, one person I know, they never had a cable bill, and I asked them, well, what do you guys do? He says, we play board games. And of course, they end up with family time because of it.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, and then the last part of this is to monitor the ongoing expenses. So it's not a one-off, you download everything and then you're done. One of the reasons that companies lock us into contracts is that we get lazy, and you get an email, you get a letter or an email from the insurance company. It says, would you like to renew your insurance? And you think, yeah, because all I have to do is check this box. But if you'd actually searched around, you might be able to get it cheaper. But the company relies on the fact that you don't want to search around. You want the easy option. And so it's quite possible that you can get a better deal on your phone or your internet or your cable right. TV or your gas or electricity or insurance or anything else that's ongoing, the gym, all sorts of things, anything that you pay on a regular basis and that you're in a contract, you can probably reduce. A lot of stuff I've seen, people have literally just called and said, can you do a better price?
I am the worst person in the world at this. I would never dream of doing it. And I understand from everyone, without being impolite, without threatening, without importuning at all, everyone says, yeah, we'll be happy to do something for you.
Yeah, I've done it at the end of contracts, but not in the middle. But everyone says, yeah, it's that easy. So maybe some people can try it and see how it goes for us. And again, you don't have to do all of this in one weekend. You can do one every month, or you can do one, you know, do it every time you get a renewal. Instead of just checking the box and renewing it, do some research and see if you can get a lower price. Because I remember being 17 and sitting on the floor of my parents' house with the yellow pages and literally calling every insurance company and repeating the details over and over, trying to find the one that would give me the best deal, right. And being horrified because 17 insurance rates were mental. And you don't have to do that anymore. You just put it in the internet and it tells you. So, you know, for those of you that are young and don't remember those days, be glad. So, and the other reason that we monitor the ongoing stuff is it could be wrong.
They're wrong. There's,
you know,
yeah.
Plenty of times they double it or they charge you twice for something, or the bill for your water suddenly goes up and you think, oh, that happened to you, right? Recently, the water bill was up and then there happened to be a leak in the house.
Yep.
Was there a leak outside the house?
Yeah, outside the house. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how you find out that
there's a leak.
From 100
to 400. Yep.
So you save $300 and you find out there's a leak, which is going to carry on. So, yeah, so you have to, you know, keep this on an ongoing basis and keep the goal of saving the 10% and thinking about, okay, I really want to take that sabbatical, or I really want to be able to have the money to take a course, or, you know, whatever it is that motivates you career-wise and savings-wise to keep it going.
When it comes to personal finance, guys, it's like the oil in your car and putting gas in your car. Maybe not gas, but oil and the filters and so on. Periodically, you have to do some basic maintenance. And taking care of your vehicle a little bit extends its life and delays a larger purchase until later. And what we're doing here is making small changes so that you can get to that 10% number, so that you can rest assured that you're going to have enough money if something bad happens. Not having the 6 months, not having 10% saved all the time. Learning to live on 90% of your income is a core skill of an adult professional, in part to help protect you from exigencies and also to help prepare you for the inevitability of you're going to have to retire someday, and you can't do it in the last 10 years. You have to do it earlier.
Absolutely. Shall I sum up?
Sure.
Okay. So we talked about creating a budget, reducing the easy expenses, and then monitoring the ongoing expenses. And we started this cast by saying it was called Save 20%, and then we decided that that was too hard, so we called it Save 10%. And the first step is to know how much you have and what 10% is. And once you, if you never think about it, if you never confront what is going on with your finances, you'll never have that money for the vacation or the course or to deal with an emergency that you want to have. And then once you've got the knowledge, you can make changes.
Yeah, and you can be more certain about the choices you're making and why you're making them.
Yeah.
And if you reach 10%, you can actually shoot for 15. And nobody will notice the difference, in some ways least of all you, until later when you win, because the race is a marathon and not a sprint.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. If you start early, it's painless. Come back next week. We'll see you then.